We are concentrating in particular on this book, The Apostolic Revelation, the first of the books that I wrote. And tonight, what I wish to do is to point out to you what are the single most important concepts that are in this message. Now, this is a substantial message, and obviously it began with me around the year 1989 when the Lord spoke just a simple word, sent a prophet to say to me, John, you're not a pastor, you are an apostle. What that prophet was not to know was that for 2 years I'd been seeking to understand the nature of my call, because I'd already come to the conclusion that whilst I was strongly called to the ministry, I really wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a teacher. I certainly wasn't an evangelist, but didn't leave anything. And I didn't have an answer to the question, and so I just put it all back on the shelf. But the question was before the Lord to try and understand the real nature of my calling. So after 2 years of that, you know, question hanging there, this fellow coming with an answer. This is why when he said it, even though we had never known of these things before, and had you asked whether apostles today, we would have said, oh, no. Yet when he said it, there was this ring of truth. So that began my inquiry. It was obviously that the time had come. And I began to seek the Lord. Can we have apostles today? Are you restoring them? If so, what are they like? You know, what is their nature? What are they to do? How is the church to change, to fit them back in? And this resulted in actually 5 or 6 years of inquiry, searching the scriptures, and teaching publicly what I was learning. And what I was learning was extensive. It turns out the New Testament has a huge amount of information about apostles, about their nature, their character, their work, their authority. It's a vast volume of information in the scriptures concerning apostles. I did not know exactly where all that was going, but by the mid-90s, I certainly had a strong sense that I was to write a book that would define apostles. But I knew it was premature because I knew the Lord was still speaking. There was a lot that he wanted to explain. There was a much bigger package deal. Other books were being written in the mid-90s about apostles. But I felt it was premature. I thought the Lord had not yet finished speaking. I felt that a lot of the early books had still too much assumption in it based on old ways of thinking. I held off and didn't write this book, The Apostolic Revelation, until the year 2002. And that meant there were 13 years of inquiry of the Lord, and it was very important because between 1995 and 2002, a whole series of other concepts opened up that were built upon and extended from that first initial inquiry about apostles and their nature. It turns out that what the Lord was saying and is doing in the world was far, far bigger than simply the restoration of apostles. Not that that in itself is a simple thing, but the big picture is far more extensive. And so ultimately when I wrote the book, the 12 chapters occur, and 12 subjects, 12 kind of separate issues I take up in the book. But as I look at it in overview, I consider that there are 7 concepts absolutely essential to our understanding of what we call the apostolic message. 7 essential concepts with respect to the Reformation that God is bringing upon the church in the world. And I want to simply explain what those 7 are. In the last few weeks, we've already been discussing a couple of them, and we will go on to discuss the others. But I wanted you to see the overall picture. There are some things in the book that I will not take time to discuss. For example, there's a whole chapter on whether women can be apostles. And very good answers are given that should satisfy everybody on that subject. There's no need to lecture on it. The book is quite clear. There are other sections in the book on, for example, there's a chapter on the humanity of apostles and answering a big question, do apostles make mistakes? Which, of course, they do, and all the biblical apostles did make mistakes, but not with respect to their writing of Holy Scripture, which is inbreathed by God. But the chapters in the book answer those questions. In this lecture series, we are rather concentrating on the larger issues and trying to give a complete picture overall, just to enable everyone to think apostolically so as to minister apostolically, So I'm going to explain what these seven essential concepts are, and then with those in mind, you'll see overall the purpose of this lecture series. Now, the first of the seven is in a sense the underlying principle of the whole thing, out of which come six concepts, really. That first underlying principle is this, that a reformation of the church is taking place that will completely transform the way Christianity functions and appears in the world. Now, the reason we need to take a few minutes to address this is because many people would assume that the church is the way it's meant to be, especially Pentecostal people who feel in the last 100 years, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit have been restored to the church. There's power in the church, evangelism is being empowered, and so on and so forth. And many people are inclined to think that what they have is it. They've got the full picture now. But in fact, that is not the case. For 2,000 years, the Lord has been continually inbreathing the church, reviving, reforming. But along the way, there have come times when there has been a radical rearrangement of the church in the earth. And this wasn't only the church, this was Israel in the Old Testament too. And you'll find with Israel, for example, that about every 400 or 500 years, there was a radical rearrangement of just how Israel was structured. But our concern is the church. And so the church began with an apostolic life and led by apostles. It was very relational. It was full of love. It was full of faith. But then it became institutionalized. But then after 400 or 500 years, there was a complete collapse of the Roman Empire, and everything changed. All the known structures of the Western world were broken down. The libraries were destroyed. I mean, it's a huge history. You can read it for yourselves. The invading tribes, sacked Rome and eventually, possessed it all. But the church remained. The church still existed. The church still had bishops. In fact, it was about all that remained of the Roman Empire was the fact that bishops remained, the only official thing left. But the church became transformed into another kind of church life altogether, and this led to the monastic movement, monasteries everywhere. And so for the next 500 years, the main face of the church was its monastic life. And still a lot of study, still a lot of advancement, things are invented, the church doing a lot of good, hospitals, all kinds of things. But the church outwardly had a completely different form and a different way of preserving the scriptures, preserving the truth. Come around the year 1000, and a great schism occurred in the church, and East and West went separate ways, and another whole era of the church eventuated up until the time of the reformers, Martin Luther and the like, in which came another huge shift and a complete rearrangement. And ever since then, you've had the multiplying denominationalism. Institutionalism was still a very big part of church structure, but Bible doctrine was being reformed. Revival movements were beginning, all kinds of new movements. And the last 500 years was an entirely different kind of history for the church. So there, in the space of 2,000 years, you had four major different presentations of the way the church was structured visibly in the world. And what we're saying is, by the Holy Spirit, we are right now in the process of the church being completely rearranged again, so that it will function differently in the world, it will appear different, and God is able to do this, He is entitled to do this, and yet what you must not miss is that His purpose for the nations, His purpose for the church, the work of Christ in redemption, has a great continuity all the way through. There are some things that do not change. Biblical truth does not change. Who we are in Christ does not change. The ultimate purpose of the gospel. No, there is continual advancement in the world, but this does not mean that the structure of the church cannot change. We cannot assume that anything we've been and done is the best or most perfect form of it. No, Holy Spirit in history is constantly working with the church and with nations to bring about a far purer expression of the city of God in the earth. So this is your first basic concept, that God can reform the church, he can rearrange its structure, and he is doing so. And there are other books in the world that are not apostolic books, but recognize that pattern and recognize that huge change is underway right now.